pounds she'd like to sweat off, but if it didn't happen, well, she could live with that too. Despite her success, though, she sometimes still saw herself through Walter's eyes, which annoyed the daylights out of her friends. It irked her, too, but the stream of a few years of nonstop criticism was embedded so deep it was almost impossible to shake.
"Grace, you need to take that burger and fries to table 9.
She told the owner of the old-fashioned soda fountain. Grace Wharton eyed her curiously.
"Why would you suddenly want to turn a man who looks like that and tips like a city slicker over to me?"
"Just do it, please,"
Sarah pleaded, not wanting to admit he made her nervous. Grace's eyes narrowed.
"Did he say something to offend you? If he did, I'll throw him out of here on his backside, attractive though that backside might be."
Sarah turned pink with embarrassment.
"No, he was just joking around, that's all. You know, flirting the way some guys do. I should be used to it."
Grace observed her thoughtfully.
"Seems to me you could use a sweet-talking stranger to put a little color back into your cheeks."
"I most definitely do not need a man,"
Sarah declared emphatically.
"I just got rid of the one I had."
"Good riddance is what I say. The way I hear it, all he ever did was tear you down. Now you need a fella to perk you back up. I'd think a little sweet talk would be music to your ears,"
she said as she picked up the plate with the burger and fries.
"You sure you don't want to take this out there yourself?"
Sarah shook her head.
"You do it. I'll take more coffee to the mayor and his buddies."
She picked up pots of decaf and regular coffee and followed in Grace's wake, careful not to glance toward Booth 9. Something told her that a pair of sea-green eyes would be watching her, and that they'd fill with knowing amusement when Grace arrived with his lunch. Fortunately, Wharton's was too busy for her to spend much time worrying about what he thought.
"I don't know why he rattles me so badly,"
Sarah said that evening as she, Raylene, and Annie sipped margaritas on the back patio at her small bungalow. She'd settled there with Tommy and Libby when it had become obvious that her marriage was all but over. It was the perfect May evening in South Carolina, warm, but without the oppressive humidity that would soon set in. She'd fled to Serenity from Alabama for a break, originally intending to go back all fixed up to suit Walter's idea of the perfect wife. It hadn't taken long to realize that she'd be wasting her time trying to meet his high standards. Thank heaven her parents had had the foresight to keep this house even after they'd moved to a new retirement home on the Gulf Coast of Texas. Apparently, guessing long before she did that her marriage was doomed.
"Have either of you seen him or heard anything about him?"
she asked her friends.
"Well, you know I haven't,"
Raylene said wryly. Ever since she'd moved back to Serenity to escape her abusive husband in Charleston, Raylene had rarely left the house. Sarah had given her a safe haven, and in return, Raylene looked after the house and babysat Tommy and Libby on occasion when the regular sitter had time off. It had been the perfect solution for both of them, though Sarah was starting to wonder just how healthy it was for Raylene to continue hiding out and pretending her problems didn't exist.
"About that,"
Annie began, only to draw a quelling look from Raylene that stopped whatever she'd been about to say. Trying to broker peace to say nothing of getting back to her own concern, Sarah said,
"Focus, ladies. Who is this man? What's he doing in Serenity?"
Annie gave her an amused look.
"I'm with Grace. You're showing a lot of curiosity for someone who's supposedly not interested."
Sarah scowled at her.
"Well, what if he's a stalker, or even more likely, what if he's spying for Walter? I wouldn't put it past my ex to send some guy over here to try to get me all tied up in knots, so I'll do something stupid that'll make it easy for him to snatch Tommy away from me."
It still stuck in everyone's craw, especially hers, that Walter had expressed interest in gaining custody only of his son, the heir to the Price family legacy, an Alabama cotton mill, but not his daughter. In fact, her lawyer, Helen Decatur, had used that very fact